If you'll look on your scripture page, we'll be turning to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. This morning I wanted to share with you some thoughts out of the book of Psalm 107. And go ahead and find it, but hold your finger there too, because we're going to be looking at some others and then coming back to Psalm 107. So that'll help you not get lost. But the declaration to give thanks to God is found several times in the Old Testament. And I want to just focus on this one out of Psalm 107. So let's look at Psalm 107, verse 1. In the first verse, David writes this. He says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." Now, historically, you can go back in the Old Testament and see that this is a phrase that has been used since way back. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Now, what David is saying in our modern terminology is this: come to the goodness of God and give thanks for His mercy toward us, because His mercy continues. His mercy continues. That's the reason you and I are alive today, because God's mercy continues. Amen? I mean, you know as well as I do, most of us can look back at a place in our lives that we can't even understand why God, you know, didn't just take us out. You know, I mean, we'd gotten to such a pitiful shape, you know, away from God and all. And so praise God for His mercy. But God's great mercy pours out upon our hearts a flow of forgiveness. And God doesn't give us what we really deserve. That's a picture of mercy. God doesn't give us what we really deserve. But what He does, He turns around and He gives to us what we don't deserve. And that's grace. God gives to us what we don't deserve, and that's God's grace. And God's grace is abundant to us, okay? Especially as we celebrate a holiday that has been set aside as this nation for giving thanks unto God. I mean, we owe it to God as a nation to at least spend one day in this nation thanking God for His goodness and His mercy and His grace. Amen? Now, the first Thanksgiving occurred back in 1621 when the pilgrims humbled themselves before God. They gave thanks for the deliverance that God brought them through from the corruption and the religious persecution that they had experienced over in England. And of course, God also brought them across the Atlantic Ocean through a time of turmoil. And then even getting to the new land, there were times of hardship and all. But here they gathered this on this one day, and they're dedicating it to the Lord to give thanks unto Him. They have been given a new opportunity for praise and worship and honoring God. And let me tell you, this God that we serve, He's always ready. He's always ready to bless you. Amen. If you'll just acknowledge Him, He can't help Himself. He will just bless your socks off. Amen? But this is a time of sharing when they found these new people in this foreign land. And so they come together and they spend this one day praising God and thanking God for His abundant provision. And so time marches on, and in November of 1863, President Abraham Lincoln declares that Thanksgiving would become a national event to honor God and would lead, or would be held rather, on the last Thursday of each year. Now, to me, this was an awesome thing. A president of the United States stands up and says, this nation is going to set aside a day to praise God, to give thanks unto God. And we ought to be thankful to God for men like Abraham Lincoln, for presidents like Abraham Lincoln. And the focus of this Thanksgiving was going to be on God's abundant blessings in our families, in the nation that we live. And then time marches on again as we begin to see the outside influence of traditions being formed that would change the course of this holiday. In 1921, the first Thanksgiving Day college football game was broadcast on radio. Look out, Thanksgiving. You're fixing to lose your center position. In 1956, it was the first NFL game broadcast on television on Thanksgiving Day. And then Black Friday came along. I mean, you know, this. Think about. I want you to giving you this history. I want you to think about this. Retailers put pressure on President Roosevelt back in 1939 to reset Thanksgiving Day as the second Thursday before the end of the month. And that's what we currently celebrate, the second Thursday before the end of the month. The reason was because they wanted one more week for Christmas shopping where they could you know, have the people coming in their stores one more week before Christmas. It wasn't termed Black Friday right away, but eventually that's the name that attached to it, the day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday. And, you know, just to think about that, you know, that sounds horrible. Here, one day we're giving thanks to God, supposedly, for our nation, for our families, and then comes Black Friday. That sounds like death and dying and all that stuff, doesn't it? When we ought to be celebrating. But what about Thanksgiving that's coming up? Well, we're going to still have the turkeys. We're going to have the gravy. We're going to have the pumpkin pies. And I presume there will be plenty of football if you turn your TV on, or if you have tickets, you'll find a football game somewhere. But this year we're going to start Black Friday on Thursday evening. They keep pushing it back. And what's going to happen in the next few years, there's not going to be a Thanksgiving. There's just going to be a week of shopping that the retailers are going to grab hold of. And eventually we'll start celebrating Christmas shopping November the 1st. You watch what I say. Because this is the power of these retail merchants in our nation. But my question is this. What happened, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Where did we lose that along the way? I'm telling you, there are people who celebrate Thanksgiving who don't even give thanks at all. Not one term of thanks is uttered the whole day. And you say, well, that's just for Christian people. No, it shouldn't be. I mean, we ought to be thanking God, if nothing else, thanking God that we're still living in a nation, that we're still walking in freedom. Because there's so many nations that are not in that position. And there's so many things in this nation that we can be thankful for. And we should be declaring these things on Thanksgiving Day. And I realize that this should be, a day that we should, I mean, you know, the day of thanks, that ought to be every day in our lives. But why are we letting national recognition of family time together to be destroyed through Madison Avenue tactics to control and rob Americans? Why are we allowing that? Why don't we put our foot down and say, no more? You know, we're not going to play this game. If you want to start Christmas shopping after Thanksgiving sometime, that's your business, but we're not going to participate until Thanksgiving's over. Think about the people who have to work on Thanksgiving. I mean, these people are bound to retail stores just because they work there, and they are forced to work on a day of Thanksgiving to our nation and to God. And it's not right. And I'm not up here to preach against all of that, but I'm just saying things are just getting crazier and crazier every year. And sooner or later, we're the ones that are going to have to put our foot down and say, enough's enough. Enough's enough. God help America. If I still understand this nation and the freedom that we have, we have a freedom to make a choice. And God has always given us a choice as to what we want to do. God has never tried to control our will, and He never will. We make our choices. We are the ones who decide what goes in our on in our family circles, not the business world, not the sports world, not anything else. We are the ones that decide. So why don't we begin this Thanksgiving by bringing Thanksgiving back to the place of the early Americans and commit our day to Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. We are here today because God's mercy. Every one of us are in this room today because of God's mercy. And this is the will of God for our lives. Can you grasp hold of that? God wants us to be a people that praise Him, that come before Him with thanksgiving and goodness in our own hearts toward Him. Let's go on and look at verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those of us whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Let's read it in context. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so, those of us whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. We've got something to praise God about. We have something to thank God about. Because God has set us free. He has redeemed us from every work of the enemy. So why not praise Him and why not bless Him on this special day? Again, we have a choice, but this choice is for our own salvation, our own deliverance, our own health, our own healing, even our own prosperity. We make the choice for ourselves and primarily as adults for our families. So why not begin to make the choices that are going to bless our families? Because if we bless God, God cannot help but bless us back. That's the kind of God we serve. He's a loving God, and He is a super abundant, overflowing God. And I'll guarantee you today, you will never outbless God. You'll never outbless Him. He will just pour out blessings upon you that you can't contain. So, why not bless Him? Four times in this Psalm 107, David cries out, he says, Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness. Everything we receive from God comes from a heart of grace and goodness. God's heart. God loves us, and it's His desire that we prosper. I've always liked this little verse out of 3 John. It says this, Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Did you know that God prospers your soul? Did you know that according to God's word and God's purpose and His will is that we walk in health and healing? Now think about that. We're missing out on some things when we don't bless God. Let's turn to Psalm 103. It's another psalm that David wrote. Psalm 103. Now, this psalm breaks down into three categories or three areas. The first one is personal. Verses 1 through 5, David reviews the mercy of God on him, on himself. And even as we read it, verses 1 through 5, we ought to be able to catch that concept of reviewing the mercy that God has on each one of us. The second concept is national, and that's found in verses 6 through 18, where David reviews the mercy of God to Israel. Let me tell you, Israel's in a position right now where she needs God's mercy, not just his mercy, but his grace. She's got an enemy on each end of the nation, the north end and the south end, that are attacking with rockets and stuff. And so there's got to be an abounding grace flowing into Israel right now, an abundance of mercy. And the third concept is the universal concept, verses 19 through 22, where David calls all of creation to praise the Lord. All of creation. You know, that's hard for my mind to conceive, to understand. But God says that all of creation will praise him. All of creation. Can you imagine just walking out in a forest of trees and finally coming to the realization that these trees are praising God? Never thought about that, did you? But they are. Everything that God has created will praise him. And the only thing that God created that he didn't command to praise him was you and I. He gave us a will. We make a choice as to whether we praise him or not. So David begins this Psalm 103 with the word bless. Bless. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And this word means to affectionately and gratefully praise the Lord. Affectionately. You know how to show affection towards someone, don't you? You know, you just like them. Or you even love them. And you let them know how much you care about them. But it's also gratefully to praise the Lord. Praise him for the things that he's done for you. Being grateful. You know, it's one thing that I see in America today is that people aren't grateful anymore. In fact, people are angry because they're not getting everything that they want. Excuse me. I stand in amazement when I see young couples out of high school and maybe out of college. And here they both go to work and they've got to have two new vehicles. They've got to have a brand new house. And they got to have the finest of clothes. And all of these things, I'm 69 years old, and I've just now attained some of those things. And yet, young people are angry because they can't get what they want. And you see, that's an attitude of ungratefulness that's on the people of a nation. And it shouldn't be that way. But I'm telling you, you reap what you sow. If you sow blessings unto God, you're going to reap blessings. But if you show ungratefulness and anger towards God, guess what you're going to get back? Lack. Lack. So it's time to change our mentality. This theme of David's Psalm 103 is, let all that is within me praise his name. Everything that is within me, let it praise his name. And then not to forget his benefits. Don't ever forget the benefits of God. And David begins by calling us to a wholehearted, intentional time of praising God. And this nation of America needs a big dose of Psalm 103. We need a big dose of Psalm 103 to wash out the complaining spirit that's in this nation. Have you ever just sat down and listened to people? Complain. That's all they do is complain. Well, I don't like this, and I don't like that, and this is going on, and I don't think that ought to happen. I mean, aren't we grateful for anything? I think the problem behind all of this is we've forgot how to praise God. We've forgot how to thank God for His goodness and His mercy. You see, it's with a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving that we are to come to God with a right heart, and then God will begin to respond in a gracious way. You see, we must think in our minds before we can thank God through an abundance of gratefulness. We need to ponder before we can praise. And we need to remember before we can rejoice. That's the reason that Paul wrote in the scripture to, you know, don't be thinking about the things of the world. Think on those things that are holy, those things that are pure, those things that are above. Think on good things. That's going to cause your soul to prosper when you do that. But if you want to just be a complainer, then again, you're going to reap what you sow. If you're going to live a negative life, you're going to receive an abundance of negative things in your life. But if you start learning how to thank God and how to praise God and how to walk in the goodness of God, then you're going to lead a blessed life. So David says in Psalm 103, verse 1, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." Verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." And then he lists the benefits. Verse 3, "Who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Now for a minute, let's look at these five events that David says that we need to be thankful for. They're benefits from God. The first one is pardon. God pardons us. The verse says, "Who forgives you of all of your iniquities." The great judge of eternity pardons you and I through Jesus Christ. And so David starts by reminding us that God has forgiven us of all of our sin. All of our sin. Sin past, sin present, and sin future. I don't know if you've let that settle into your mind, but that's an awesome thing. That God would even forgive me of sins that I haven't even committed yet. But God is gracious, and God is holy, and God wants me to walk in that holiness that He walks in. And you see, this is a foundation of our thanksgiving and praise. Just that one thing, God has forgiven me of all of my sin. See, one of the greatest problems is the guilt that we feel because of our sin. And our greatest need is to know forgiveness from the Lord. We have to come to that place where we know that God forgives us. We know that we know that we know. And not let guilt overtake us. Not let guilt destroy us. We ought to walk in peace and happiness because of knowing that God has forgiven us. And God, you know, in 1 John, God says, you know, if you sin, well, confess that sin And to paraphrase it, God says, and I'll be faithful and just to forgive you of that sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So not only has he forgiven us our sin, but if we do sin, he's provided a way to cleanse us of that sin. I mean, what a powerful pardon that is. Prisoners all over this world in prisons would love to have a pardon like this. Your iniquities, your sentences are forgiven. The grace of God releases you. Amen? What a powerful testimony. But the second thing, the second benefit is healing. Who heals all your diseases. He heals all of your diseases. Can you grab hold of that promise from God? He heals. It's God's desire that you and I walk in health and healing. It's his desire. But you see, we've got to do things to line up with his desire. And one of the things that we have to line up with is what I've been talking about. You need to be careful what you're saying, what you're talking about, what you're sowing into this world around you that you live in, because your words are creative words. If you want to go, we've been trying to teach the granddaughters this. If you want to go around saying all the time, I'm tired, I'm tired, I'm tired, guess what? You're going to be tired. Amen? Or I'm sick, I'm sick, I'm sick, I'm sick. Well, you're going to be sick. So part of the thing that we can do to receive the benefit from God is to begin to speak positive things. Okay, I don't feel good today, but by the stripes of Jesus Christ, I'm healed. I'm already healed. That's a promise that I have from God. Isn't that a little bit different than I don't feel good? But see, we forget these things, and David is reminding us to remember these things. These are the benefits of God. So get them down in your spirit and begin to remember them. Begin to walk in them. That's what God intended. And we need to thank God every day for our healing. I mean, whether we're sick or not, we need to thank him for good health and healing. Every day, get up in the morning. And I know all of the things that I've told you to do when you get up in the morning, you know, you probably don't have time for it all. But what's wrong with getting up in the morning and just thanking the Lord for this? Lord, I thank you for my good health and healing that's in my body. Did you know the healing's in your body? Even the medical people will tell you that. The body has the power of healing in it. And we just don't know how to get it in the right position because we're not trusting God. And that wouldn't that just be like God? I mean, here, you know, doctors, scientists, they all say that this is one of the greatest creations that they've ever seen, and that this body will heal itself, and we live in this body. And wouldn't it be just like God to create something perfect? Yeah, that's the way God is. But we're the ones that keep it messed up. Boy, some of us big time. Amen? Yeah. All right. Third benefit is deliverance. Deliverance. Of course, there's all kinds of deliverance, but this one in particular, one translation says, who redeems you from destruction. The King James translation says, who redeems your life from the pit. Have any of you ever been in the pit? Yeah. Well, this word pit here, though, actually means it refers to death. And I think it's probably more closely to what God is talking about here. I mean, you know, God is providing pardon. He's providing healing. And now he's telling you, you know, I'm going to protect you. No matter what happens to you, I'm going to protect you. Now, I think a lot of times we get into destructive things because we make mistakes. Amen? But God is saying here, you know, I'm going to rescue you in time of trouble. Think about it. No matter how old you are today, you are alive today. Is that a blessing or is it a curse? It's a blessing. And because God has preserved you for this very moment and He has protected every step of your journey, you are alive today. Isn't that something to give thanks to God for? Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I know some of us, like myself, you know, we've done things to our body in the past that probably shouldn't even be walking around at 69 years old. But hey, I am. And I give God the glory for it. I'm sure not going to give me any glory because I never thought I'd live to be this old anyway. Fourth benefit, coronation. David's talking about who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. God crowns you and I with steadfast love and mercy. Your translation may say loving kindness. Loving kindness. But it's the loyal, unending, unchanging love of God toward you and me. That's what David is talking about. God heaps up His blessing and then He pours them out on us in abundance. You ever heaped up something? You know what that word means? Gather it. If you're a barbecuer, you know, the charcoal stuff, you're supposed to draw it together in a heap before you light it because it'll burn quicker. That's what God does. He heaps up all of these blessings and then He pours them out on us. He crowns us with those blessings. And then it says that He crowns us with tender mercies. Tender mercies. Tender mercy means that God knows what we are going through. He knows what you and I are going through. And He meets us in the midst of it. What a place to meet God. In the midst of the fire, God's going to meet you. And He's going to see that you come through it okay. His tender mercies. And if we were to receive what we truly deserve from God, we wouldn't stand a chance. But praise God for His grace. Instead of justice, God gives us tender mercies. Tender mercies. And finally, number five, satisfaction. Satisfaction. Who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Woo! For us older people, that's an amen verse. Amen? Who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. This scripture is saying that God satisfies you with good. You are satisfied. Satisfied with good. That means that there's nothing on this earth that can satisfy you as deeply as God can Himself. There's nothing else in this world that will be able to satisfy you the way that God can satisfy you. What a tremendous thing. The good in verse 5 comes from God, and it doesn't come from anything else around us. It comes from Him. And we could say in relation to this verse that it's not that what we possess, but what possess or who possesses us. You know, we belong to God. We are a part of the family of God. We are brothers and sisters to Christ Jesus. Talk about the goodness of God. He is the goodness of God. Amen? And God wraps us up in all of this goodness. That's how much God loves us. So we need to remember these five benefits of God that we need to praise God for and to be thankful for. Pardon, healing, deliverance, coronation, and satisfaction. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget, for he is good, and forget not any of his benefits. So now let's relate satisfaction to Thanksgiving Day. To be satisfied means to be so full that you don't need anything else. To be so full that you don't need anything else. And I know our minds are twisting here and we're thinking food. Thanksgiving, lunch or dinner, you know, the big turkey and all this stuff. In the fleshly part, yes, true. You're so full of food and stuff that you're satisfied, you know. But we want to be so full of God's goodness that we don't need anything else. Now listen to this. We don't need to join America and go shopping on Thanksgiving evening. We don't need to join America and replacing our family with sports. If you love football, let me tell you, you're not going to miss out on just one day of missing football. I mean, they've got the TV schedule so crammed full of football now that you can't find anything else to watch anyway. I like to watch football, but I like to watch it toward the end when it really gets good. Okay? But I'm saying we need to come back to the day and celebrate the day for what the day is meant to be celebrated for. And that's giving thanks to God and giving thanks to God for our families. And then spending this time with our families, not just the immediate family, but the overall family that you can gather together to spend time with them and to spend time with God. You see, your joy is wrapped up in your fullness. Your joy is wrapped up in your fullness and everything that fills your family. And God's goodness will fill you and your family. So what kind of Thanksgiving would be the greatest? Well, it would be for the family who sees God in everything. It would be for the family who understands that circumstances are the fingerprints of God. It would be for the family who receives everything as an instance of God's goodness. And then it would be for a family who has a heart ready to praise God for everything that God has provided. In this last verse of Psalm 107, David makes a declaration. He says, "Whoever is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord." Amen. Let me read it again. "Whosoever is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord." So do you want a declaration for Thanksgiving in every day of your life? Here's a good one. "Praise the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever." You ought to learn that verse. You really should learn it and repeat it every day. "Praise the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever." Just the declaration of that over and over and over again in the Old Testament times, in the Chronicles. That's when the glory of God would come into the temple. Would be after the priests sanctified themselves and they began to declare with the musicians singing this, "For the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. For the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever." God's mercy is in this room this morning. And it endures to you forever. That's how much God loves you. His mercy endures for you forever. And so if you were here this morning and you have never experienced Jesus Christ in your life, and maybe earlier when we talked about him during the worship time, you just said, yes, Jesus, I want you in my heart. Well, he's there now because you invited him. And he won't leave. And he wants to teach you how to walk with him. And so in a minute, I'm going to ask whoever would like to come be prayed for this morning. And if you did receive Jesus into your heart, if you would, I'd like for you to come because I'd like to pray for you too. So whoever has a need this morning or would just like a time of being prayed over, to, you know, for whatever your need is, well, let me invite you to come at this time.